Today is June 10th, 2026. This is your FinTech Briefing for Professional. In the next 8 to 10 minutes, we'll cover two pending Fed rate hikes reshaping lending economics across embedded finance, the elevated counterparty risk inside BaaS sponsor bank relationships, and a massive IPO pipeline carrying a 55% average drawdown that demands immediate stress testing of your credit models. Let's start with the rate environment, because it is the foundational pressure bearing down on every other risk we'll discuss today. Darius Dell at 42 Macro published his Macro Minute on June 8th, and his conclusion is direct. The U.S. economy is operating two rate hikes behind the curve. The forces driving that gap are compounding. You have the AI apex aggregate demand shock still working through the system. You have pro-cyclical fiscal stimulus from the One Big Beautiful Bill. And you have a labor supply slowdown that is not resolving quickly. Dell's framework implies a Fed funds target in the 5.75 to 6.25% range. That is not a distant forecast. That is the operational baseline your team should be modeling against right now. Here is why that matters at the infrastructure level. Warehouse credit facilities that were priced at SOFR plus 250 to 350 basis points under 2024 assumptions need to be reevaluated at SOFR plus 300 to 450 basis points under Dell's two-hike scenario. With SOFR currently sitting at approximately 5.3%, your all-in cost of capital floor is now approaching 9.3%. The math on that shift is not abstract. Every 25 basis points of Fed tightening on a $100 million lending portfolio increases annual financing cost by $250,000. If you were operating a lending book at a 7.5% cost of capital with a 5% base case loss rate, that model was generating roughly 14% net yield. At a 9% cost of capital with a stress-adjusted 6% loss rate, that net yield compresses to something closer to 12.5%. That is a reduction of more than 10% in net income per dollar deployed. Any hard-coded cost of capital constants in your origination pricing logic need to be replaced with dynamic SOFR feeds before the next origination batch runs. Building on that, your warehouse covenant compliance dashboards need to reflect this revised advance rate assumption today. If your current covenant specifies a minimum 1.3 times loss coverage ratio and your loss rates are trending toward 6%, the available advance size must be reduced proportionally. This is not a quarterly planning item. This is a this-week operational task. Now let's talk about BaaS sponsor bank risk, because the Synapse bankruptcy from 2024 continues to reverberate, and the lessons from it are not fully integrated into how most programs are running today. The Synapse collapse left an estimated $160 million in customer funds inaccessible for multiple months. That figure has been independently confirmed across multiple sources in this briefing, including Bill Maris at Section 32, Jonathan Wellum at Rocklink Investment Partners, and operational data from the bankruptcy proceedings themselves. The core failure was structural. Single-sponsor bank dependency, with no real secondary relationship and no independent customer subledger architecture. Here is the specific action item that cannot wait. Evolve Bank & Trust, a frequently cited BaaS sponsor bank, has received a Federal Reserve consent order. The current resolution status of that order must be independently verified via the Federal Reserve's Public Enforcement Actions database before any new program engagement or renewal. Building on that, the OCC and FDIC enforcement action databases must be queried for every sponsor bank under active evaluation. This is not a one-time audit. The standard operating procedure from this point forward is automated weekly queries to all three databases, with any new consent order or matter requiring attention, triggering escalation to your boss, program manager, and legal counsel within 48 hours, and a 48-hour decision window on whether to activate a secondary sponsor bank relationship. The target architecture for deposit program resilience is clear. No single sponsor bank should hold more than 80% of program deposit volume. Your primary sponsor carries 70 to 80%, your secondary carries 20 to 30, and critically, That secondary relationship must be fully integrated at the API level, not merely a contractual arrangement sitting in a drawer somewhere. Customer funds must be held in properly titled FBO accounts at each institution, with individual customer subledger records maintained independently of whatever BaaS middleware layer sits in between. On the contractual side, every sponsor bank agreement needs three specific protections if it does not already have them: a minimum 180-day written notice requirement for program termination, a data portability guarantee covering full customer subledger export in ISO 20022 compatible format within 30 days of notice, and an explicit provision that customer funds remain accessible to end users during wind-down proceedings regardless of middleware provider status. If your current agreements lack any of those three provisions, that is a legal conversation that needs to happen this week. The third major pressure zone is the IPO pipeline, and this one directly touches credit underwriting in ways that teams may not have fully mapped. Dell's June 9th briefing cited Bloomberg data documenting that the 30 largest technology IPOs over the prior 15 years averaged a maximum drawdown of 55% in year one, with 57% of those listings trading below their IPO price at the 12-month mark. Average first-week performance was plus 4%. Average first-year performance was plus 14%. But the maximum drawdown figure is what drives the credit risk calculation. The current pipeline makes this data highly operational. SpaceX is targeting a $1.8 trillion valuation, with its IPO book closing Wednesday, June 11th. OpenAI has confidentially filed as of Monday, June 9th, at an $852 billion last funding round valuation. Anthropic is at $965 billion. This is the largest concentration of pre-IPO technology valuation in history, entering the public markets over a compressed window. If your credit underwriting models incorporate late-stage or pre-IPO technology company equity valuations as a collateral signal, a revenue proxy, or a creditworthiness indicator, those models must be stress-tested at a minimum 55% collateral markdown scenario. That is not a conservative assumption. That is the historical average. Any lending portfolio with greater than 5% single-name concentration in pre-IPO or newly public technology companies needs to be identified and remediated for concentration risk. Two additional risk areas deserve attention before we get to the compliance framework. First, deposit duration management. Dell's framework explicitly recommends floating-rate T-bills at approximately 4% as the correct instrument for cash deployment right now. TLT, the iShares 20-plus-year Treasury bond ETF, has declined 8% on a total return basis since January 2023. BIAS programs deploying customer deposits into long-duration instruments are facing mark-to-market losses and net interest margin compression simultaneously. The standard operating procedure here is straightforward. All program deposits should be swept into instruments with a duration of 90 days or less. 4-week and 13-week T-bills and SOFR overnight sweep accounts are the approved instruments. 10-year notes, TLT exposure, and any instrument exceeding 90-day duration are out. Jonathan Wellum put the revenue impact cleanly. Every 200 basis points of rate cuts eliminates approximately 2% of deposit spread revenue. At $100 million in program deposits, that is $2 million in annual revenue at risk. NIM sensitivity reporting must run weekly, with at minimum A plus 100, plus 50, minus 100, and minus 200 basis point scenario columns distributed to your CFO and chief compliance officer. Second, AI cost structure in compliance workflows. Bill Maris made a pointed observation at the All In Summit. If Google's Gemini can deliver comparable output at 80% lower token cost than OpenAI, the competitive pressure on AI-native fintech tooling becomes severe. For context, GPT-4o is currently priced at $5 per million input tokens. Claude 3.5 Sonnet from Anthropic is at $3 per million input tokens. Self-hosted Llama 3.1 runs at an estimated 50 cents to $1 per million tokens with infrastructure. The compliance boundary on AI agent deployment is non-negotiable. Agents must not hold final decision authority over adverse action determinations under ECOA, SAR filing decisions under 31 CFR Section 1020.320, customer identity verification final approvals under the FinCEN Customer Due Diligence Rule, or OFAC sanctioned screening match dispositions. The permitted pattern is draft generation and data aggregation with mandatory human sign-off. Every AI-assisted compliance decision must generate an immutable audit trail. Input data hash, model version identifier, output text, human reviewer identity, and review timestamp retained for a minimum of 5 years per BSA record retention requirements. If you are deploying ML-based AML monitoring to replace a rules-based system, a minimum 90-day parallel run alongside the existing rules engine is required before any decommission decision. Before we close, here is the one internal initiative worth proposing to your leadership team this week. Stand up a macro sensitivity working group that meets fortnightly and owns three specific outputs: an updated cost of capital assumption sheet for all active lending programs, a sponsor bank regulatory health dashboard pulling weekly from the three enforcement action databases, and a stress test log documenting model performance at 1.5 times and 2 times current base case loss rates. These are not new work streams. They are coordination structures around work your engineering, risk, and legal teams are already doing in silos. Formalizing the group and the cadence is what converts reactive fire drills into a repeatable operating posture. In an environment where the Fed is behind the curve, sponsor bank health is variable, and the largest IPO pipeline in history is entering public markets over the next 12 months. That posture is the difference between catching the signal early and responding to a crisis. Keep your eyes on the rails. Talk tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.